Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Today's daf is Ksubas Daf Tes Vav. We left off on daf, well, the daf we're learning today is Ksubas Daf Tes Vav. We left off on daf Yud Dalet Amud Beis. We left off after the Mishnah, but we will backtrack to the Mishnah. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer, in honor of his wife and children, and Li'ilui Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha Aleha Shalom, Neshama Shavna Aliyah, and we wish a profound sense of Nechama to the entire Landerer family. Also sponsored by TheSeferTorah.com, the background of which is a drive to write a Sefer Torah L'Zecher Nishmas from Meir Zlotowitz. All of us who learned Daf Yomi, and probably everyone in Klal Yisrael, has benefited from Art Scroll, whether from an Art Scroll Siddur, Machzor, or the Art Scroll Gemara, which we all know was introduced by Rav Meir with the encouragement of his Rebbe, Rav David Feinstein Zatzal. One of Rav David's dreams before he passed away was to write a Sefer Torah, the Zecher Nishmas Rav Meir, and now we all have the opportunity to share in that dream, the SeferTorah.com. Everyone's encouraged to participate. So we are holding, as I said, we're going to pick up from the Mishnah on Daf Yud Dalet Amud Beis, and the Mishnah is going to talk about whether we rely on a rov for a woman who was ne'anas by a mayan, and we don't know who the man was that was ma'anes her, whether it's someone that would make her pasul lukuna or someone that would not make her pasul lukuna. And the Gemara is going to discuss that when it comes to yichus, we actually don't, a single rov is not enough. We actually need trei rubi. We need a double rov in order to say that she's kasha lukuna, and that's going to lead the Gemara into a discussion of rov called the parish merube parish, cases of teisha chanuyos called kavua kemechtzal mechtza dami, which is an unusual halacha that even though statistically it's a rov, but a halachically reviewed as if something is 50-50 because it's in a makum kavua, the Gemara is going to give three possibilities of where in Shas we see the rule of kol kavua kemechtzal mechtza dami, and then it's going to start discussing where in Tanakh, where from where in the Torah rather, we find kol kavua kemechtzal mechtza dami. It seems like a din d'oraisa, so where is it in the Torah? Then the Gemara is going to discuss the status of an abandoned baby. Do you assume that the baby is Jewish, that the baby is not Jewish? Look at different halachos as far as supporting him, as far as his yichus, as far as the fakeh chalav asagal to be mechal Shabbos in order to save his life, and a lot of that is going to have to do with roves as well. So a very exciting topic in today's daf. So let's begin with the Mishnah on Yadalar and Beis. Amar Biyosi Ma'aseh B'Tinokas Yordal Malus Mayim Mina Ayin. There was a young girl that went to fill up water from a mayan v'nensa, and she was nebuch. She was raped, and we don't know who the boel was, whether he was someone who's kosher or someone who would passel her to kuhuna. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan Nuri im rova and sheha ir masin lekuhuna harezu tinasi lekuhuna, that if most of the men in that city are the kinds of people that would not passel a woman from marrying a kohen, then this woman is also allowed to marry a kohen. If they wouldn't passel her, so we assume that she's in fact kosher to marry a kohen, because we could follow that rove. So the Mishnah seems to tell us that if we don't know whether she was nevelas to a kosher or apostle, you just follow the simple rove of the population of that city. So Amrle Rav Nachman, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Damar Kaman. When Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says you follow the rove, you just look at rove ksherim, which of the shitos that we've been discussing the entire time is he following? Meaning we had a shita, we had a machlokas on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph between Rav Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, whether a woman is ne'emenes, or do we say lo mipia anuchayin when a woman claims l'kosher nevalti? So ik Rav Gamliel, if you're following the shita of Rav Gamliel, afilu bro psulin nami machsher, Rav Gamliel always says she's believed even when it's rov psulin. So why does Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri require rov ksherim? You shouldn't even need rov ksherim. Rav Gamliel says kosher even when it's rov psulin. So Tosus and Dibra Maskel Keman and the Rishonim say that you have to say that the Gemara is understanding that the Mishnah is talking about a case where the girl is making a claim where she's saying I know who the guy was and he is a kosher. Otherwise, this is not a, you know, this point that the Gemara is making wouldn't be a valid point, because the Gemara is saying, oh, doesn't Rav Gamliel say that she's always going to be kosher? Yeah, he says she's always going to be kosher when she claims that the guy is kosher. But if in our Mishnah she has no idea who the guy was, she was just attacked in the middle of the night and she has no idea who the guy was, so then you can understand that maybe she's going to need a rove. So that's what Tosfos Tosfos makes the point that it must be the Gemara is assuming that in the case of our Mishnah, she knew who the guy was. She claims to know who the guy was, and she claims to know that he in fact was an Adam Kosher. Ik Rabbi Yeshua, and if you're going to assume like Rabbi Yeshua, Afilu Brov Ksherim Nani Pasul, Rabbi Yeshua says Lo Mipia Anu Chayin, even if it's a case of Rov Ksherim. So Rov Ksherim is not going to help you. So when is it, according to whom is it ever going to depend on what the Rov is? According to Gamliel, it doesn't matter what the Rov is, she's always Nehmenes. According to Yeshua, it doesn't matter what the Rov is, she's always not Nehmenes. So when does it ever matter what the Rov is? So Amaleis, Rav Nachman says, Rav, Hachi Am Ravidam Rav, that really the Mishnah is following Rabbi Yeshua. And a Rov does not help. She's really, with a Rov, she would still be Pasul. But over here, it's not just that there's a Rov, there's a double Rov over here. Bekronos Shel Tzipurim, Hayamaisa. The story happened in the Kronos Shel Tzipori on the day of the Yom HaShuk of Tzipori, where people, caravans, were coming from all over the place. The Rashash says that he dafka picks the city of Tzipori because that's where Rabbi Yossi lived. But, you know, so I would say Bekronos Shel, whatever, Shel the Five Towns, or, you know, but it doesn't matter. It's just a matter of, that's just his reference point. It doesn't matter what city it is. It's not something about Tzipori. But the point is that it was in on a day where there were a lot of travelers from the outside. So there was a significant group of kosher people that were traveling there that day. So you have two rovs: rov of the people that actually live in the city are ksherim, plus rov of the travelers to town are also ksherim, and therefore you can rely on that double rov to be machsher. Even Rabbi Yeshua, who would normally say lo mi pia nuchayin, would rely on a double rov. So that din that we have two rovs, uked Rabbi Yana, that follows Rabbi Yanai. Dama Rabbi Yanai, nivelas bekronos ksher lekuhuna, that if a woman is nivelas in the wagons, she's kosher to kuhuna. So it says, bekronos akadaitach, what? It matters if she has bia in the wagons? So ela nivelas bishas kronos. No, it doesn't mean in the wagons. It means at a time that there are a lot of wagons coming through town, that there are a lot of people traveling through town, then ksher lekuhuna, she's going to be kosher lekuhuna, because we have a double rove. Aval pirish echad mitziporim Boal, but if a person, one of the members of the city of Tzipori, came and was Boal, meaning we know that the Boal was a native, a citizen of Tzipori and was not one of the visitors to town, so we cannot rely on the rove of the visitors, so you only have one rove, then a Vlad Shtuki. Then the Vlad is going to be a Shtuki, is going to be Pasul Midrabanan, like a Shtuki is Pasul Midrabanan, meaning it could be on the Daraisa level, you only need one rove, but Midrabanan, we require two roves, and if you know that the guy who had taken advantage of her was a resident of the town, you only have one rove, and that is that rove residents of the town are ksherim. So this din that you need two roves says Gemara ki hadchias Rav Dimi Amar Ziri Amar Rabbi Chanina va'amrila Amar Ziri Amar Rabbi Chanina, that it was said in the name of Rabbi Chanina that holchnach harove ir vein holchnach harove sia, that when it comes to yichus we follow the rove of the people of the city, but not the rove of travelers. So it says more klapi laya, hani naidi, v'hani kvi v'kaimi. If you're going to follow any rove, it would be the rove of travelers, meaning there is a rule that called kavua kemechts al metzadami. So rove of the members of the city, are home, they're not moving anywhere. So if anything, we should not follow that rove, because they're kavua, and that should be considered like a 50-50. If you're going to follow one rove and not the other, it should be the rove of the people who are traveling, because they are parish, and we say called the parish miruba parish. Ella, no, what Rabbi Chanina meant to say is, holchanach rovayir vudiika rovsiabada. We only follow rovayir if there's also rov travelers together with it. Meaning, you need trei rubi. Ve'ein holchanach rovayir gredisa. We do not just simply follow the rovayir, velo achar rovsia gredisa. Nor do you follow the rovsia, the rov of the travelers. Now, to tell me that you don't follow the rov of the ear, that's very mistaver, because kol kavua kemechts al mechts dami. You would think, though, that you'd follow Rov Sia, that you would follow Rov of the Travelers, because that's called the Parish Miruba Parish. So my time, why can't I follow Rov Travelers? Because if you follow Rov Travelers, you might come to follow Rov of the people who dwell in the city alone. Meaning, if you're going to follow one Rov, and the Rov Travelers is going to be enough of a Rov for you, then Rov of the Anshei Ir will also be on its own enough of a Rov for you, and therefore therefore you're going to come to rely on what should have been a kol kavua. Rova ir nami iduka asli inu legaba kol the parish meru parish says, well, not every time the boel comes from the city do we say kol kavua kamechzal metzal dami. If he left his home in order to be boeler, then it's called the parish meru parish even within rova ir. Meaning rova sia is always called the parish meru parish, but even rova ir half the time is called the parish meru parish. If she didn't come to his house, he came to her house. So says Malotzricha, this gezeira not to rely on Rov Sia on account of Rov Ha'ir is the kaza ihi legabayu, is a case where the woman went to the man, davale kavua, where then the man is kavua, and therefore it's kemechzal mechza. So Rabbi Zeira kol kavua kemechzal mechza dami, that any time you have a case of kavua, any time people are stationed in place, that's considered to be kemechzal mechza dami, that's considered to be a 50-50 suffek. So you don't follow that Rov, it's considered as if it's mechzal mechza. So therefore, if the woman went to the Anshei Ir, into their house, into the man's house, that's the Makom Kavua, then you're not going to follow the Rov. It's considered as if it's Mechzik Sheir and Mechzik Psulim. So therefore, the Chum made a Gzeira never to follow the Rov Ir, even if the Boel went to the woman. And not only that, they made a Gzeira on top of that, not to follow Rov Sia, because then you might come to follow Rov Ir. The Ritva points out that this smacks of Gzeira le Gzeira. Why can't I follow Rov Ir? Because you might come to them. Follow it even if she went to him. So you can't follow Rov Ha'ir even when he went to her. Why can't I follow Rov Sia? Because then you might come to follow Rov Ha'ir also. So it's a gzeira l'gzeira. But he says, kulacha l'gzeira, the iloha lo kaimaha, whatever we normally answer when we have kashas of gzeira l'gzeira, that the two gzeiras cannot exist without each other. But a very important yisod that emerges over here is kol kavua kemechzal mechza dami. Whenever something is kavua, we treat it mechzal mechza. There is a fascinating kasha that Rav Elchanan asks in Kovit Shurim in Osman. He says, how can you say that you follow Rov whenever it's called the Parish Meruba Parish? What's a classic example of Rov, of called the Parish Meruba Parish? We're going to have later in the daf. You have Tesha Chanuyos that sell Basar Shchuta, Rachas is Mecheres Basar Nevela, or vice versa. Let's say Tesha that sells Basar Nevela, and one sells Basar Shchuta. So you find a piece of meat on the street. So that you say that comes from the Rov and called the Parish Merub Parish. Ask Rav Elchanan, how could you follow the Rov called the Parish Merub Parish, even though the Chaticha you found on the street was on the street and wasn't in its original location, but all the other chatichos are back, are in the store. Meaning you go into the stores and the shelves are full. Meaning that everything else is kavua. So you want to know where it was parish from? Meruba parish, but it wasn't parish from a rove. It was parish from that which is kavua and has a din of mechzal mechza. Meaning everything that's in the store still has a din of mechzal mechza regardless of the ratio. So don't tell me it was meruba parish. It's really me mechzal mechza parish. So how does called parish meruba parish ever work? Asks Rav Elchanan. So he said he asked Rav Chaim, and Rav Elchanan said that Rav Chaim agreed to the following answer that he heard from a different chacham, that the din of kol kavua kemechzal mechza dami does not mean that there is no rov. It means that there's no halacha of rov. Meaning it doesn't deny the mitzvahs of a rov. So you could still say kol parish meru parish because there is in fact a rov. It's just that halachically it doesn't have the status of a rov. And therefore when it comes to kol kavua we say halachically it's not a rov. But when it comes to kol parish, the reality is, the mitzvahs is, that it came from a rov. Okay, so says Gemara, me being a trey ruby, do we really find that you require two roves, that a single rove is not good enough? But I'll quote you the famous price, if you have 10 stores, 9 of them sell shechted meat, kosher meat, and one sells non-kosher meat, one sells basar nevela. Is a question that one of the Akronim deals with, is why is it that whenever the price has to come up with an example of rove, it's always a 9-to-1 ratio? How often is a rove a 9-to-1 ratio? Meaning it could have been a 2-to-1 ratio. Why is it always given teisha chanuyos? But that's the example the price gives. And you purchase meat from one of the stores, you were sleepwalking, you don't know which store you went into and you bought meat from, so sveiko asur. The halach is that misafik, we view it like a 50-50, it's a safik daraisa l'chumra. See, even though most of the stores are selling kosher meat, but it's not most, it's considered kol kavua, it's kemechzal mechzadami. But if you find a piece of meat on the street somewhere, then halach achar rov, then you follow the rov. V'chitema b'she'im d'lasos medina n'ulos d'kasi le'rub me'alma. So says Gemara, maybe you're going to try to answer me. Meaning the point is that we follow a single rove over there. It's not a double rove, and we're willing to follow a rove called the Parish Merub Parish by the Teisha Chanuyos. So maybe you're going to try to answer me that even in the Brisa of Teisha Chanuyos, sometimes there is a double rove because it's B'shein Vassos Medina Neulos. There are a lot of people traveling through town to Kasli De Ruba Me'alma, where there's a lot of meat that comes from outside of the town. There's a lot of meat that's coming passing through town as well, and maybe that's the double rove. Rove of the meat in the town is kosher. Rove of the meat passing through the town is kosher. But Vam Rabbi Zera Alfa Bishlos Medina Neulos. But Rabbi Zera said that's not the case. The case is that that even if the Vassos Medina Neulos, there are no travelers through town. There's no meat coming into the town. All the meat starts in this town, so it's only a single rove. So why is it that you're telling me that we need two roves? So says Gemara, very big yisod, mala asu biyuchsin. It's a chumra when it comes to yichus. That ain't a chinami. Midaraisa, you only need one rove. But a special chumra that we have, when it comes to yichus, in order to be machshir and isha lekuhuna, we need a double rove. And this is what we started talking about yesterday with that story with Rabbi Reisman, that Rabbi Reisman said, a girl knocked on his door one day, and she said, I'm not telling you my name, but I just found out that my mother was adopted. And I called up my grandparents, they told me that it's true that she was adopted, and that the only evidence that they have that she was Jewish is that there was some Jewish agency in Connecticut that claims that she was a Jewish baby, and there was no gerus, no nothing. So she wanted to know, is she Jewish? So l'chora, even though rove of the babies in a Jewish agency are Jewish, it's only a single rove, it's not a double rove. And by yichus, you need a double rove. So Rabbi Reisman said he went to Rav Eliyashiv. Rav Eliyashiv was 100 years old at the time. He went with Rav Efrati to Rav Eliyashiv, and he asked Rav Eliyashiv, and Rav Eliyashiv said, hire a lawyer and try to find, you know, get into the town's records and get the paperwork and find out who the mother really is, and you could be mevara the matter, and then after that come back to me. So Reisman said Rav Eliyashiv had just turned 100 years old at the time that he told him, come back to me after you hire a lawyer. He said, I didn't know if I was going to have a chance to come back to him. He was over 100 years old already. Who knew? We hoped we'd have him forever, but nobody lives forever. And he said Itaka never was able to come back to him, but he ended up having room to be makel for other reasons. But he said he later saw that the stipler in Karina de Igrisa has the same exact shayla, and I just saw today in the Panini Alacha section in the back of the Masifta they quote this stipler, but it wasn't a shayla about a girl in Connecticut. The stipler had a shayla where before the war, before the Holocaust, a Jewish family dropped off a child at a non-Jewish neighbor, which happened to thousands of children, and the non-Jewish neighbor protected that child throughout the war, and then after the war they gave him back, which didn't happen as much as it should have, that they gave him back. So they gave this girl back, and the girl was raised in Jewish schools and everything else, and she made her way to Eretz. She was raised in from schools, but now they don't know. How do you know that she's really Jewish? How do you know that she wasn't from that non-Jewish family? So do you have a double rove? L'chora, you don't. You have a single rove, and that is that rove of the children that were dropped off, that are given up by non-Jewish families immediately after World War II, were probably coming from Jewish families, because non-Jewish families don't just give up their own children, right? So most of the children that they're giving up are the Jewish children that were given to them. So Yashiv has a whole discussion about this issue in his Tshuva Chelek Aleph Siman Kuf Lamed Aleph, and again at the end of the day he's Mekel because he considers it to be a significant Shasadcha, because it would be Nogeya to so many people. Rabbi Reisman said that the impression that he got was that Rabbi Yashiv was of course going to be Mekel. If he was going to be Machmer, he wouldn't have told him to hire a lawyer and then come back. Why did he tell him to come back? Because he was going to be Mekel when he came back if he was unsuccessful in being Mevarit. But anyway, so that's a situation of a double rove. It happens to be my brother had a situation where Nebuch, there was a girl that was in Gan Sakher in Israel, and she was attacked at night and she was raped, and they never caught the perpetrator. So they didn't know if it was someone who was a apostle or someone who was a kasher. So he sent the shayla to various gedolim, to Rav Asher Weiss and to Rav Shechter and to Rav Zalman Chaim Goldberg Zichron Lebracha, and to many gedolei harabanim. And the shayla is: do you have a double rove? You have rove of Gan Sakher and rove of Toshvei Yerushalayim that pass through Gan Sakher. Is that enough to have a double rove? That rove are kasher. So this was part of the major machlokas of Rav Asher Weiss and Rav Shechter in general about whether, as my brother puts it, whether rove is a helaga rove or it's just another word for statistics. Meaning, Rav Shechter said that it's not a helaga rove. Rove is even double rove means you need a significant statistic. statistical thing in your favor. And the statistics, you have to go to the police department, and if you ask them statistically what percentage of rapists are kasher l'kohuna, probably a very low percentage. Most of the rapists in Israel are probably not people who are masiyim l'kohuna, whether it be Arabs or whatever. There's no halakha rov. You have to look at the statistics. Whereas Rav Asher Weiss said, no, there's a halakha rov, that rov of the people that walk through Gan Sakura, so you can put together perhaps a double rov to be machshir l'kohuna. Fascinating, but terribly, terribly sad situation. So anyway, says the Gemara now, Gufa, Amar Bezerah Kol Kavua Kamechsal Mechzadami, Bein Lukula Bein Luchumra. We said that Kol Kavua is Kamechsal Mechzadami. Whenever you have a situation Kavua, it's always viewed as if it's 50-50, and that's true both Lukula and Luchumra. So first the Gemara wants to know, where do we get that? Rabbi Zera didn't make it up, so where in Tanoim do we find it? We know the Rabbi Zera Ha. Where did Rabbi Zera find this in Tanoim? Ilema, if he found it from the Brice of Teshach Neskul Mechzbas, Shchut of Achzbas, and Nevela, 10 stores, 9 of them sell kosher meat, and one of them sells non-kosher meat, and you purchase from one of them and you don't know which one you purchased from, Sveiko Asr, we treat it as a suffix that it's Asr because it's Kol Kavua, it's 50-50, and even though most of them sell Basar Shchuta, we treat it like 50-50, so it's suffix Daraisa L'chumra, but when you find the meat, we would follow the Rov because then it's called the Parish. Well, is that really a good enough source that tells me Kol Kavua Kamehza Al-Mehza? Hasam L'chumra. That just tells me that we're Machmir for Kol Kavua Kamechzal Mechza. Does that even mean that I would be Mekil for Kol Kavua Kamechzal Mechza? Let's say the Rove were pointing in the other direction. Would I be Mekil to say, no, it's really just a 50-50? Ella, no, the real Raya is Mitisha Tzvardim, by Suffolk relating to Tumas Sheretz. The Torah tells us that there are Shemona Shratzim that are Metame when they die. They're Metame Adam Vekelim. And one of those Shemona Shratzim is not a Tzvardeya. So let's say you have 9 dead Tzvardim. So dead Tzvardim are not Metame with Tumas Sheretz. V'Sheretz Echa Beneim. But then you have one actual Sheretz that's Metame Tumas Nevela. It's Metame when it's dead. V'Naga Be'echmen, you touched one of these dead creatures, but you do not know which one you touched, Sveikotame. Then the halacha is that even though most of them are tzvardim, which are not metame, misafek, we're going to say that you're tame. So you see, kol kavua kamechzal mechzadami, that since it's kavua, we treat it like a regular suffek, and we don't say that rove, you're okay. So says Marno, hasam nami l'chumra. But that's also a situation where it's l'chumra. The l'chumra we say it's kol kavua kamechzal mechza. Where do I see that you ever say such a thing? L'kula. Ela mitisha tzvardim, mitisha shratim, v'tzvardeya echad. No, it's from the next case, where you have 9 shratim and 1 tzvardeya beinehem. So the rov points you in the direction of tuma, v'naga bechemen v'enyo debez me'naga, and you touched one of them, but you don't know which one you touched. So b'rishus ha'yachid sveiko tami, if it's in a rishus ha'yachid, you have to assume that it's a 50-50 suffik, and we're machmir, b'rishus harabim sveiko tar, but the halach is, whenever you have a suffik tuma b'rishus harabim, the halach is tahar. So we're willing to be makil that this is called a 50-50 suffik, even though statistically it's a 90-10 in favor of Tuma. And we're saying that since it's a Savik Tum versus Rabim, it's Tar. So there you see, Kol Kavua Kamechzal Mechzadam is not only a Chumra, it's even a Kula. So it says Mara, wonderful. That's where we find it in Mishnayos or Braisos. But Umidaraisa Minalan, where do I find in the Torah that we say Kol Kavua Kamechzal Mechzadam? So the Gemara brings a Braisa that darshins a Pasuk about a murderer, that from the Mashmos of the Drasha, we're going to see Kol Kavua Kamechzal Mechza. There is a machlokas Masech Sanhedrin between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan about a person who intends to kill Ruvain and he kills Shimon. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says he's patur, the Rabbanan says he's going to be chayiv for murder, meaning he wanted to kill and he killed. He just didn't kill the guy that he wanted to kill. So the Gemara there says, how does Rabbi Shimon know that if you're miskavin lahar gazeh, that you're patur? So now we're picking up that conversation mid conversation. How do I know that if you intend to kill Ruvain and you kill Shimon, that you're patur? Because Amar Kra, because the pasuk says va'arav lo v'kama lav, the pasuk actually says v'chiya ish sone l'rei ehu. If someone dislikes somebody else, enough to murder him. And therefore, Va'aravlo, he lies in ambush and he attacks him. V'ikon nefesh from Mace, the pasuk continues, and he murders him. V'nasalach Sarmel, and then he runs to an ir miklat. So, l'chor, it's difficult. Why does it have to say Va'aravlo? It should have just said a guy hates another guy and he kills him. Why does it have to say he lies in ambush against him? So, Rabbi Shimon says, oh, you see from there, ad she eskavin lo, that he's only going to be chayiv if there was a plan to kill this person, the one he actually killed. If he planned to kill someone else, he's going to be potter. Rabbanan, the Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Shimon and say that you chayiv misa even if you intended to kill somebody else. Amri debe Rabbi Yanai, prat lezorik evan lego. The Rabbanan will say that from the phrase va'arav lo, we just learn to exclude a case of throwing a stone into a group of people where there are both Jews and non-Jews, and you wanted to kill one of them that you'd be putter for because you were not miskaven to kill a Jewish person. So the Gemara says, oh, so you see from the Rabbanan's Shita that kol kavua kamech sal mechza. How so? Hey Chidami, what exactly was the case of the group of people that you threw a rock into? If it was nine non-Jews and one Jew among them, so why do I need a pasuk to tell me that you're potter when you throw a rock into such a group? Typically, anyway, it's Rav Kananim, so you'd be able to follow the Rav, and in Kala Torukula we follow the Rav. So that's like intending to kill a guy and killing a Jew, where you're going to be potter l'kuli alma. Inami palgo palga, and even if it's 50-50, it's half Jews and half Kananim, still why do I need a pasuk to tell me that you're potter? If the shaila is, are you going to be mechayiv misa, the person who did this crime? That's safek nefashos. Safek nefashos were mekel. We're not mechayiv misa misafek. So the tzricha, the case must have been diikatish Yisraelim kanani yachad b'nehem, that there were nine Jews and one kanani among them. And without the pasuk, I would have said follow the rov, and that's considered as if you intended to kill a Jew and you killed another Jew, and therefore you're going to be chayiv. But the Torah is mechadesh that we don't follow the rov. Why not? We don't follow the rov in this situation because it's a case of kavua, and whenever you have a case of kavua, we always say kol kavua kemechsa al mechsa dami. That's the makor min haTorah for kol kavua kemechsa al mechsa dami. So the Tosos raises a question that according to Rabbi Shimon that we don't darshan from this pasuk about zorik evan lego. Rabbi Shimon darshans from this pasuk ad she eskavin lo. Where does he learn kol kavua kemechsa al mechsa dami? Meaning this whole limud is only within the sheet of the Rabbanan, who have a different limud from the pasuk of Arvelov and Kamalov, and they think it's about throwing a rock into a crowd of people. But Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold it's about throwing a rock into a crowd of people. So where is he going to know kol kavua kemechsa al mechsa dami? So all the Rishonim try their hand at figuring out where Rabbi Shimon is going to learn it from. There is a fascinating discussion about kol deparish meruba parish, and that is how do we define rov? The Gemara always gives the example of teisha chanuyos and nine stores and one store. Let's say there are nine stores in one store, but that one store is bigger than all the other nine stores put together. Meaning you have nine little ma and pa shops, and then you have one massive supermarket, right? You have a massive store. Or let's say, it's in a frum neighborhood, let's say. So let's say, for example, in Kew Gardens Hills, let's say there are a whole bunch of trefa stores, let's imagine, right? And they're all selling meat to whatever. But it's Yontif time. All the meat that's being sold in Kew Gardens Hills Yontif time is coming from the kosher stores, right? So it's obvious. So they might be in the minority of numbers, but of stores. But the amount of meat that they have is way, way more than whatever's coming from. So do we look statistically? So this is part of that question. Is it a halakha rov or is it statistical? What do of whether we follow rov or not? So the Pisrei Tshuva quotes from a Beis Ephraim that if you have one store that sells nevela more than all the other nine stores that sell kosher, do you follow the rov of the chanuyos or the rov basar? He says yesh lo hakel ulahachmir, that any time if each store only sells one animal or two animals, I don't care how much they have in stock. Meaning, because the suffix is about meat that was sold, obviously. It's called the parish meat, it was out on the street. So if all the stores are selling the same amount of meat, per day. So that day, each store sold one animal. So then obviously you'd follow the chanuyos. But regardless of how much stock they have. But if one store is selling much, much more, like it's Yontif time, so Aaron's Casino Farms is selling way more meat than whatever Trefa store may be across the street. So if it's in such a situation, so then you would follow the statistical rov. So the Chumas Knesset Yecheskel disagrees, though. He says, but Pashtos, the Gemara never says that. The Gemara always talks about Teisha Chanuyos. Why doesn't it say? But if one of the stores is bigger, the fact that the Gemara is shosek from saying anything about the size of the stores and how much they're selling tells you that it doesn't really matter. Chachmas Adam writes that we follow Rova the Basar, not Rova the Chanuyos, and he says that in the Chavas Das he says that we follow Rova the Chanuyos, Rova the stores, and the Chavas Das is Raya is from a fascinating Raya in Bab Metzia. If a person finds an aveda in the city that's Rov Yisrael, you're chayiv la'achriz. You have to announce. So lechora, why the miut nachri might be much richer people than the Israelim that live there? Meaning, you find something valuable. So it could be most valuables are owned by goyim, because it could be that the nachrim in that city are much wealthier. So why would you follow Rov of the residents of the city? You should follow Rov of the wealth of the city. Elamai, you don't, because the rove is that you follow the residents. Over here also, I don't care how much meat is coming out of the stores, you follow the rove of the stores. So Chachmas Adam says it's not a real raya, because by an aveda, the nidon is who lost the kesef. Who are the people that lost the kesef? Who is the person that lost the money? So then you follow the people. So there are most people. Over here, I don't care which store it was. The nidon is not about the store. The nidon is about the meat. Is the meat kosher? So then you're going to follow rove of the meat. So the Chai Adam writes, Chachmas Adam says that he met the Chavas Das and he told him his raya. He told him how he schlugged up the Chavas Das' raya. He told the Chavas Das. He says, "Ubinisiyasi b'shlichus mitzvah kibalti panuk shel Chavas Das kuros pnei elukim. I saw the heluk of Chavas Das v'itzati l'fanav davar zeh, and I told him my rejection of his raya." Vishasakli, and he was quiet. So I never know what to do with that. What's Vishasakli? Is that Shtika Koda? Is that Shtika leave me alone? Is that, you never know what Vishasakli really means. But that's what he reports. Okay, so now says the Gemara, Itmar, Rav Chiya bar Ashi Amarav, Halacha Krab Yossi, that we follow Rav Yossi, that if the girl, Nebuch, got raped, and Rov of the city are kosher, so you could assume that she's kosher lakuna. Rav Chan bar Rav Amarav, Hora Shah Haisa, that which Rav Yossi paskin with even only just one rove to be machshir, that was our rasha. Normally, you would need two roves. So, must Rabbi Yirmiyah of Yuchsin Lobim and Trey Ruby? Wait, the Rabbi Yirmiyah challenges that Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi is just saying straight halacha Rabbi Yossi, which makes it sound like you only need one rove, really. So, is that true by Yuchsin? You don't need two roves? Vatnan, but don't we have a Mishnah, our Mishnah, that Matzaba Tinok Mushlach? If you find in the city of Yisrael and of Chavim, that city that has both Jewish and non-Jewish residents of the city, you find an abandoned baby. If most of the residents of the city are non-Jews, then you assume the baby's a non-Jew. If most of the residents of the cities are Jews, then you assume the baby is a Jew. If it's 50-50 Jews and non-Jews, then you assume the baby is a Yisrael. That's only true that you consider that if Rov of the city are Jews, you treat the kid like a Jew. That's only to provide him parnasa to support the kid. But aval yuchsin. But when it comes to his yichus lo, we're not going to treat him like a Jew. And therefore, if it's a nekeva, she's asur lekohen. And even though there's a Rov Yisrael, and normally we follow Rov, but this is a yichus matter. And when it comes to yichus, you need a double Rov. Ushmol Amar, and Shmuel says that when we say that if Rov Yisraelim, he's a Yisrael. It's even the fakeach of his hagal. It's even if it means being mechal Shabbos in order to save his life, you're allowed to do that because ain't holchem bepikach nefesh achar rov. So you're allowed to be mefakeach of his hagal on Shabbos. So you see from Rav that we do not rely on a single rov for yichus purposes. You need a double rov. So how can you just paskin alach krab yosi that a single rov is enough? So yishtamitei hadam Rabbi Dom Rav that he must have forgotten. Rabbi Yirmiyah must have forgotten that which Rabbi Dom Rav said that bekron shel tzibori avemaisa, that the case of Rabbi Yossi was not a single rov, it was a double rov. The rov of the people that live in Tzipori and rov of the travelers that were coming through town were all kasher l'kuna, and that's why it's a double rov. So the Rav Chanan bar Rava da'amar hara shah, he said, yeah, but then why would Rav Chanan bar Rava say it was only a hara shah? If there was a double rov, that's the halacha l'doros that you're allowed to follow a double rov. Why would you call that only a hara shah? So kasha, huh? It's going to be a kasha from Rav on the Mishnah of Tinok Mushlach, where by Yichus you need a double rov. He's saying that it was a hara shah, and that normally l'doros you don't need a double rov, that it was only a hara shah that he required a double rov, right? If he held that it's that you required a double rov, and he said that yeah, but that was just a hara shah that you required a double rov, that's against our Mishnah about Tinok Mushlach, about the abandoned baby, where it's l'doros, and we still require a double rov. So it says, man de masniha, lo masniha. Whoever taught Rav's statement that it was hara shah didn't teach that it was of Tinokos Bikron Shal Tzipori, where it was two rovs. And therefore he understood that the Maisa was with one rov. And that's where he said that it was a rasha. Meaning, it wasn't that Rabbi Yossi required two rovs, and we said, oh, but that was just a rasha, normally you only need one rov. No. It was that Rabbi Yossi only required one rov. And that's what he said, that was just a rasha. Because really, the Doros, you need two rovs. Just like we find with the Tinok Mushlach, that really you need two rovs. So Gufa, so let's talk a little bit about this Tinok Mushlach. Matzah b'Tinok Mushlach. You find in a city where there are both Jewish and non-Jewish residents. You find an abandoned baby in the city, and you don't know if he's Jewish or not Jewish. Imrov of the Kuchavim Ovid Kuchavim. If most of the people that live in that city are not Jewish, then you assume that he's not Jewish. I just interviewed a guy for Smicha recently, applying to the YU Smicha program, who told me that he was a Tinok Mushlach in the Ukraine. He was left on the doorstep of an orphanage. So when he was 3 months old or something, 3 days old, I don't remember, but he was left on the doorstep of an orphanage. Okay, so then he's a Tinok Mushlach. Most of the people in Ukraine are not Jewish, and therefore he had the status of a non-Jew, so they had to be Megayrim. So they did a Giyur Katan on him when he was a baby. Because you have to assume, Ovid Chavim, Vimrov Yisrael, and if most of the people that live in the city, by the way, do you look at most of the people that give up their babies, or most of the people that are in the town? So Pashas says, you look at most of the people that are in the town because it's a rov. But Rav Shachter might say, no, there's no halig rov. Statistically, you have to look at most of the, or for example, how far do you want to take that? Let's say you find a Chinese-looking baby, right? So do you assume most Chinese babies are, but it's in Borough Park, right? So do you assume most Borough Parkers are Jewish, or do you assume most Chinese-looking babies are Chinese and not Jewish, right? So is it a halig rov, or do you, look at the Metzias. So anyway, so the im Rov Yisrael, and if it's Rov Yisrael, you assume he's a Jew. Mechz al mechz Yisrael, and if it's 50-50, then you assume he's a Yisrael. V'amarav lo shanu elach yoso. We say that if it's Rov Yisrael, he's a Yisrael as far as supporting him. Aval yuchsin lo, but you would need a double Rov for Yichus. Shmuel amr l'fakeach lo v'zagal. And Shmuel says, to save his life on Shabbos, that the Rov Yisrael is enough. Umiyomer Shmuel hachi, does Shmuel say that only if it's Rov Yisrael, you're allowed to be mfakeach lo v'zagal on Shabbos? V'amar Rav Yosef and Bidom Shmuel, enochem b'kuach nefeshach harov. L'chora, even if it's Rov of the Kochavim, you should be allowed to be mfakeach lo v'zagal on Shabbos, because by b'kuach nefesh, we don't follow a Rov. Forget about following a double Rov, you don't even follow a single Rov. You're allowed to be choshish for the miyut. Eli Yidmar d'Shmuel HaReisha, in Mar Shmuel was said in the context of the Reisha, that in Rov of the Chavim of the Chavim, that we said that if Rov of the Chavim, then it's over the, then the child is a guy. But Amar Shmuel, l'vakeach l'vesagal ain't okay. But to save his life on Shabbos, you would still do, even though he has the status of Novi Chavim, because we don't follow Rov when it comes to B'kuach Nefesh. Im Rov of the Chavim, of the Chavim, my Hilchso. When we say Im Rov of the Chavim, that he has a din of an Ovid Chavim, well, then what does that mean? Lagabe, what halacha? If you're going to be Mechal Shabbos to save his life, so in what sense do you treat him like an Ovid Chavim? Some Rav Papa, l'achil l'nevim. So you can give him non-kosher food, because he has a status of an Ovid Chavim. Im Rav Yisrael Yisrael, l'may ilchsa. When he said that if a Rav of the city are Jews, he has a status of a Jew, so what's the halacha nafkamina for that? Rav Papa, l'achsa l'aveda. That you'd have to give him back his aveda, where there's no mitzvah of Shabbos aveda by a Nachri. There is a mitzvah of Shabbos aveda for a Yisrael, to give back to Yisrael. Then we said, Mechza al Mechza, if you have a city that's 50-50, 50% Jewish, 50% Nachrim, so Yisrael, then the child has the status of Yisrael. The Mai Hilchasa, the Gabe, what does he have the status of Yisrael? Don't tell me about Machzer Aveda, because only Barov Yisrael, he has a status, can you be Machzer Aveda? So the Gabe, what? When it's Mechza al Mechza, does he have the status of Yisrael? So Reish Lakish Lini Zakin, when it comes to Halachos of damaging, because of a Shor Shal Yisrael gores, a Shor Shal Obdik Chavim, the Yisrael is Pater. If a Shor Shal Obdik Chavim gores, a Shor Shal Yisrael, then the Obdik Chavim is Chayiv Nezik Shalim, whether it's a Shor Tam or whether it's a Shor Muad. And if a Shor Shal Yisrael gores, a Shor Shal Yisrael Acher, so if it's a Shor Tam, it's Chatsi Nezik. If it's a Shor Muad, it's Nezik Shalim. So they're very different Halachos, depending on if the person's Jewish or not. So that's what we're saying, that Mechza al Mechza, it's Yisrael, and you treat him as if he's a Jew. Legabe the Halachos of Nezek. So, hey, Chidami, what's the Mishnah talking about that he has a din of Yisrael? Ine medinachi turid didam the turid didei. If you want to say that one of our oxen, a Jew's ox, gored the ox that belongs to this child who's Mechza, who was found in the city of Mechza al Mechza, and we're saying treat him like a Jew where you have to pay him. So, lemelei, I see right the Yisrael ad v'shkol. Why can't the Mazik say, bring me a raya that you're a Jew, and then I'll happily pay? But by din of mamonos, there's a rule. Amotzi mechaver olav raya. We don't follow rove by ein olchin b'mamonachar rove. We say mamonos mechaver olav raya. So let's see. Now the case must be dinachi turi didei l'turi didan. His ox scored our ox, so he has the advantages of being a Yisrael. So palga mishalim, he only pays chatzi nezek. He doesn't pay nezek shalim because a short time you only pay chatzi nezek when both sides are Jewish. V'idach palga, as far as the other half nezek, amalu aiti raya delav Yisrael ana ve'etein lachon. You could bring a raya that I'm not a Jew and then I'll give it to you. Meaning amotzi mechaver olav raya would tell you that he has the status of a Jew in this case, because if you want to tell me that I owe you Nezek Shalem because this is a case of a Shor Shal Akum that goes Shor Shal Yisrael, good, bring me a Raya that I'm not a Jew and I'll pay you Nezek Shalem. You won't be able to bring a Raya and therefore you pay Chatzi Nezek. This sugya of Mechzal Mechza and the Safik Yisrael, Safik Nachri, is quoted in the Mishnah Melech in the Parashas Drachim about whether the Avos had a status of Bnei Noach Yisraelim. So he says that they themselves were Masupuk, what their status was. And he says, so you're going to ask me the Mainaf Kamina, who cares how they figured out what to do. He says, no, it's a nafkamina for finding a tinuk mushlach that's in the city, Mechza Yisrael, Mechza Nachri. So you have to figure out, what would that tinuk do about Shabbos? A goysha Shabbos is chayiv misa. A Jew that's not Shabbos is chayiv misa. Okay, hajrun lech basilun nisis, Bez Hashem. Tomorrow we will begin the second parak of Maseches Ksuvos. Everyone have a wonderful evening.